Gossip, the F1 Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Greek Gossip, episode 10. My name is Dell. I'm here with my co-host, Julie. What is up, yo?
Hello. Happy Monday, although it feels like Sunday, given that it's Labor Day.
I know. I could easily go a few more days off of work, for sure. How was the beach?
It was great. It's so hot there. Like, when you're not on the beach, you don't necessarily get the beach breeze that I feel like you do in the Jersey Shore. Like, it is hot. But once we were on the beach, I mean, there was like a nice like 10 mile per hour wind. So, I mean, we sat under our umbrella the whole time. And Luna, our dog, loved the beach. She was like running into the waves, just like sunbathing, had the time of her life. So that was a big surprise. We thought she would hate it.
Oh, really? I feel like all dogs love that salt water. They smell it from like 20 miles out and they start going nuts. It's like catnip for dogs.
She loved it. So it was good. It was nice. I mean, only 4 hours from Austin, but honestly, it felt like a really quick drive. Kind of stopped halfway through, but super easy. A little bit sleepier than the Jersey Shore, and the water was a lot clearer.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, I'm not knocking the Jersey Shore, but if that's what you're comparing new beaches to, you're probably going to do fairly well. So,
yeah.
So that's nice. What was the halfway point? Was there like a main city halfway, or is it just?
We actually stopped at this convenience store / gas station called Bucky's. It's a gas station / convenience store that's like the size of a supermarket. You can buy like clothing. They have like fresh beef jerky, like the dopest snacks ever. And so, anytime there's one in a route or near a route that we're taking, we absolutely stop there.
Yeah. So you guys probably spent a shitload in snacks, I would imagine. It's like you can't help yourself. Exactly. Was it like a Wawa on crack?
Yeah. And they have like breakfast tacos. They have like barbecue. It's insane. You should look up what a Bucky's is.
I have to check it out. That sounds very dangerous.
Yeah, but there's not one like anywhere near Austin. So you kind of have to be like driving to Houston or Dallas or San Antonio and then you pass one.
Gotcha. So, all right, we'll put Bucky's on the bucket list next time I'm in deep South Texas.
How was your Labor Day weekend other than ignoring all my texts about Formula One?
I know. I literally took my phone and I put it like in the part of the house I never go to, and I just never checked it, which was great. Actually, I'm going to do that more often, but it was good. We caught a baseball game on Saturday, a couple things here and there, but you know, no beach, no mini vacation. We kind of just chilled at home. We were thinking about going to Disney World probably a few weeks ago. We're like, maybe we just go to Disney World on Labor Day weekend. And we just decided to veto that just with the COVID rates and all that jazz. So low key, watch the race. That was exciting.
Have you convinced my sister to come to Formula One Austin? Oh. Because listeners, Dell is now contemplating whether or not he's going to be coming.
Well, so yeah, I mean, that's a simple way of putting it. I mean, I just don't want to roll solo. I mean, I will if I have to, but you know, that wouldn't make your sister too happy. So we're still working on it. It's just, we don't even have tickets yet. We kind of did a shitty job of planning it this year. So we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Worst case scenario, I will save my funds and my resources and my time for next year's Dutch Grand Prix because it looked fucking epic.
It did.
Very busy news week in F1. A lot going on. We're recording on a Monday night, and there's been even more news since the weekend started. So we'll go through that with you guys. We reported on this last week. Not that we were the first ones ever to report on it, but we talked about Kimi retiring, of course. That was expected, and that news dropped, I think, the day after we recorded last week. But that was the first bit of news to drop. What were your thoughts on not only the Kimi retiring, but then catching COVID and not being able to race this weekend?
It was kind of like a 1-2 punch. Probably bittersweet for him. He's been racing for a while and is probably just going to kind of like disappear into oblivion, I feel like, once he retires. But then to get kind of COVID on top of that, he was probably celebrating his retirement. Some strippers or something.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I wondered if he really got COVID or he was just celebrating so hard in Amsterdam.
They said he wasn't showing and he hadn't showed any symptoms, but honestly, I don't even know who replaced him on race day.
It was Kubica.
Was who?
Exactly.
I'm like trying to like Google that, but they also said they're not sure if he'll be there for Monza this upcoming weekend. It'll kind of depend.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close, given they do the 10-day minimum. So he may miss Monza, which would be a bummer. But yeah, I mean, the news wasn't terribly surprising. It was just a matter of what domino was going to fall. I think we were all thinking that the Mercedes Russell domino would be the first one to fall, but that wasn't the case. And will be missed for sure. Kimi was a little bit before my time, obviously, as it pertains to being an F1 fan, both of our times. So I probably won't miss him as much as, you know, diehards that have been watching for a long time. I appreciate the fact that he just doesn't give a fuck and he doesn't talk a lot.
Definitely.
So you had Kimi retire. He'll go through the end of the year, of course. Missed this weekend's race with COVID. May miss Monza. The next domino, which wasn't necessarily like huge news, but it was one of those question marks out there. You said you were in major favor of Sergio being re-signed. You thought he deserved it. He did. What were your thoughts when you saw that?
I think that's like the first time they've re-signed the second driver in a long time, instead of just kind of pulling someone from the backup team. I mean, I do think he deserves it. He's getting them more points and he's very consistent for them.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's interesting. You know, you could make the argument for Gasly given, you know, the way he's driven the last few years. But yeah, you know, I think Max probably had a lot to do with this decision and Max is in a really good spot. You can contribute some of that to Sergio Perez. So if it's not broken, don't fix it kind of thing. And I do agree. He did deserve it. Not that Gasly didn't, but hopefully he improves the consistency that they're looking for. But all in all, I do like him at Red Bull. So good for him. And so that set the Red Bull seats for next year. Max and Sergio will re-up in 2022. And then we kind of got to the race. And on Monday after the race, Bottas finally announced that he's going to Alfa Romeo.
Yep.
Which he made that evidently clear he was not resigning with Mercedes in the race, which I think everyone loved and appreciated. And we'll talk about that later. It was really between Williams and Alfa Romeo. Based on the articles I read, it sounds like he had a multi-year offer from both teams, but chose Alfa Romeo. And I'm cool with that. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does with that car. And also, after they announced it today, I was like, there was actually no way Mercedes was going to announce George's seat without announcing Bottas's home first.
I mean, it was very obvious, especially this week, that Russell was going to Mercedes. I mean, they asked him in the pre-race interview, is there any news, Russell? He was like, no. And then they asked him, do you know where you're driving next year? And he said, yes. And so it was very obvious. I think I sent you the clip of Russell doing an interview with, I think it was Button, and Horner interrupts the interview and says, hey, congratulations on the new contract. Russell's like, oh.
And so did Ricardo. And of course, like in classic George fashion, all he does is laugh because he has no idea. He is so bad at PR and interviews. He just doesn't know what else to do but laugh. And part of me thinks that they're going to announce it tomorrow morning, which makes me slightly regret recording this on Monday night, but I could see them following up on the Bottas stuff because the news always comes out like first thing in the morning, like Eastern Central Time. So I could see that coming out tomorrow morning before they get to Monza.
Yeah. Well, I mean, geez, I think that they usually travel on Wednesdays, I think, or is it Tuesdays? But yeah, I agree. I think it'll drop tomorrow. So we'll just be the first ones to drop it. George Russell to Mercedes official.
Edit this out if it doesn't happen.
Yep, exactly.
There were surely enough memes on the internet about that today.
Yeah, you talk about another great meme week. Amazing. But we'll get to that. So Kimi retiring, Sergio resign, and then after the race, Bottas going to Alfa Romeo, which opens up the Mercedes seat officially. And really, most of the other seats are pretty much locked in outside of the second Alfa Romeo seat.
Well, they still have to re-sign Gasly and what's his face?
Oh, Yuki. Yeah, but that seems very, very
totally. They just still have to do that.
Yep,
so.
I agree. So So really, it's Alfa Romeo's second seat. Will Gio maintain it? I think he's going to get the boot, especially after the race this weekend. And Williams backfill for Russell. So let's jump into the action. Dutch Grand Prix. This thing looked amazing on television. Reading through tweets and different blogs, it sounded amazing. And I thought the action was pretty good all the way through. But we'll start with qualifying. So we talked about Sergio re-signing for another year, and he promptly gets bumped out in Q1 of qualifying, which was shocking. I was actually speechless that he struggled to get into Q2 and didn't make it. I know that he got let go pretty late and there was some delay in the pit lane, yada, yada. But I mean, at the end of the day, put in a lap. Were you surprised?
I was shocked. I think that like they just didn't really time it well.
The circuit was evolving. There was a ton of course evolution for sure. Track evolution, I should say, throughout qualifying. I mean, the laps got faster and faster and faster. So I don't disagree with you there. However, his first lap was trash. And his second lap, I don't even know if he got his second lap in, wasn't good enough. I was surprised. I was like, geez, Red Bull might pull that contract after that. Fortunately, he delivered during the race. And then later in qualifying, Q2, you had, I believe, both Williams crash. Was it Q2? I'm pretty sure it was Q2. And they both crashed, I believe, in the same section of the circuit.
Yeah, I did not watch the end of qualifying, so I have no commentary.
Wham, okay. Wah, wah.
Just going to be honest.
Yeah, just put it out there. And then Max obviously took pole. He put in, he was just on the money all week, really. He put in the fastest lap. His first lap in Q3 was good enough to actually take pole. Lewis, I believe, tied him on his second lap in Q3. Max improved his lap by 1/100, if you will. It was very little on his last lap in Q3. And, took pole, and I thought he deserved it. I mean, he was flying. And I think it was good for the crowd too. I was really, 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 really anxious to see how the crowd would respond to Lewis throughout the week. I think they, as you would expect, booed him quite a bit during, you know, free practice and during qualifying, but it wasn't as bad as I thought. They treated him a lot better after the race. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to the Dutch Grand Prix, you know, you're rooting for Max, and he delivered in qualifying. So you had Max, Lewis, Bottas, Gasly as your top four, and I put Gasly in there because I believe that was exactly how the race finished too. Those four, yeah. Just like that,
definitely.
Yeah, so good qualifying. I think the track was awesome for those type of fast laps. You know, low fuel. Soft tires, it seemed pretty nice, but also challenging where, you know, you're going to get some red flags. And we saw a couple. So that was qualifying. Did you watch the race?
Yes, I watched the race.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Did you watch the race? Because you weren't answering me.
That's because I was glued into the TV screen. Of course I watched the race. For me, I was a little nervous going in because all the drivers were like, oh, this is going to be a train. It's going to be like Monaco, no overtaking. That didn't seem to be the case. Obviously, we saw quite a bit of overtaking by a few guys in the back. But yeah, let's start at the beginning. So,
I mean, Max got out of the gate very quickly. He got out smooth and quick, and I think was like a minute and a half ahead of Hamilton, literally within, or not a minute and a half, I guess a second and a half. I mean, he got out of there quick is the point I'm trying to make here.
He crushed the first lap. I mean, I could not believe. I think he was like 1.3 or 1.5 seconds ahead of Lewis after the first lap, which was shocking. I didn't think it would be that far out. But yeah, I mean, he got a great start. Bottas struggled. This has been a consistent theme, though, all year. Like, Max has nailed all of the starts, whether he's starting on pole, second, third, doesn't really matter. He's outstarted Lewis and Bottas, for that matter. I feel like every single race, there really hasn't been much challenge, especially when he's on pole, to beat him to the, you know, to turn one. So more of the same here. Really, the race was a lot of Max in front, and you expected Mercedes to split strategy, which they ended up doing. I think what really hurt them in the first, you know, 10, 15 laps is Bottas fell behind by, I think he got up to 10 seconds from Max, which really took him out of the race, perceivably. I mean, they did go to a one stop, but that proved not to work. Were you surprised at all by Mercedes' inability to kind of put the pinchers on Max earlier?
I think, like, if you look at the radio, like, some of the things that Lewis was saying on the radio, like, he was like, there's no chance. Like, they are just so much faster. Like, these tires aren't going to be able to withstand this. So I think he even knew how unlikely it was. And it was evident throughout his commentary.
Yeah, he was pretty upfront about it. Although you never know with Lewis. He says that a lot. I'm losing my tires. These tires aren't going to last. Blah, blah, blah. He says that every race. And then all of a sudden he starts putting in fast laps. But I actually believed him that the pace was too good by Max. And he, you know, Lewis after the race said, you know, I was not trying to conserve tires. I was just putting in laps every single lap. And he couldn't catch him. And so I, you know, I think it has more to do with, you know, the Red Bull car and Max versus, you know, strategy. But yeah, I was surprised to see Bottas fall behind that far, though. I mean, I was kind of disappointed. But that was basically the common theme up top. You know, they did at one point try to undercut. Max came in and covered that up. You had Bottas do a one stopper, but Max was able to catch up, and you kind of fell back to Max, Lewis, Bottas, Gasly. And that's really all there was there as far as those four go. I think the highlights for me of the race, I would imagine for most people, maybe it was. I mean, Max winning probably was a highlight. But if you've been following F1 for even a couple years, you know the comical relationship between James and Bottas. James being a race engineer, principal strategy engineer for Mercedes. I'm probably butchering his title. And Valtteri Bottas. And over the years, when Bottas is being forced to sacrifice his race for the betterment of Lewis, James will come through on the radio and say, Valtteri, it's James, and he'll deliver him a message. And he has not been on the radio. I don't think I can remember him being on Bottas' radio at all this year. I could be missing it, but not a lot. And James made his appearance at the Dutch Grand Prix very tail end of the race when they brought Valtteri in to go for, actually, I don't even know why they brought him in, honestly. It's like they brought him in, put him on soft tires. And so naturally, when you do that with like three laps left in the race, you're like, oh, I'm going to go for the fastest lap.
Right.
And so Valtteri started putting in the fastest lap, and James came on, I think mid lap, and said, Valtteri, this is James, please abort fastest lap attempt. And he continued to put in purple sectors, which was hilarious.
Yeah, he backed off like at the very last minute, like right as he was crossing like the flag or like the
finish line.
The
yeah.
Finish line. That's
and
when
he took
he
the fastest lap. Yeah, and he took the fastest lap, which I thought was hilarious, but like I appreciated so much just given where we're at in the season, the driver's lineup news, what's going on with Bottas, is he saying, is he going? That was just a big like kind of fuck you, but also a pre-announcement that he was leaving Mercedes and going to some other team, because that's what you do. That's what you do. You disobey team orders when you're out the door. So I thought it was hilarious. I kind of appreciated you putting the fast lap. These are the kind of mini storylines that I think make F1 so cool, you know?
Definitely.
As far as the rest of the race, I mean, there wasn't a ton else to discuss outside of the fact that Sergio Perez started, I don't even know, what did he start, 16th?
Last. He started from the...
Oh, that's right. He started from the pit lane. Yep. Yeah, so Sergio started last. And where did he finish? 7, 8?
I think 8th.
8th?
He got driver of the day.
Yeah, and he deserved it. I mean, he overtook 12 people, you know, 11, 12 people. So on a circuit that supposedly overtaking was very difficult. So yeah, he deserved driver of the day. He definitely passed quite a few folks. He had that mix up with Norris in turn, I believe it was turn one. But yeah, he was doing a shitload of passing. So good for him. It's always good to see him. It's just like if he could just qualify in the top five, it's very difficult to understand why he, you know, can't win a lot more races. You know, maybe he's not beating Max, but he should be in the mix for podiums like every week. So if he can figure out the qualifying situation, he could be dangerous.
Yeah, at one point when he was passing somebody, he was like so amped up that he was like on the radio. He was like, "Woo, who's next? Who's next?" and was kind of like chanting to himself. I think because he was just so excited to be back in it and back in the points. I think that's when he went from 11th to 10th.
Yeah, they're like, "Sergio, you have 18 more people to pass."
But he was just so excited. I mean, he has done that before. Started like dead last or like not in a favorable position.
That's how he won his first race.
And then, exactly. Last place. And then climbs all the way up. And you're not looking out for him when he's all the way in the back like that. And then all of a sudden, you're like, "Oh shit, he made his way all the way back on up."
I like Sergio Perez. I just, you know, when you see that, you're like, "Can we just get our qualifying figured out?" Because if you're starting from third or fourth or second, like, that's podiums week after week after week. But it's interesting. Maybe that's his thing. Maybe he's just more locked in when he's chasing down people versus up front. Or, you know, I mean, let's be honest, too. I mean, qualifying sessions are way different than racing sessions. I mean, all the drivers have spoken about that. Qualifying is just, for whatever reason, they haven't figured it out. But I do have faith. I think he will be a little bit more consistent this year. If he is, you know, there's no reason the Red Bull can't win the constructors as well. So that was your race. Besides that, just a ton of orange smoke, which was awesome. The funny thing was that fans were supposedly told to leave the flares at home. Don't think the Dutch got that message.
No, but one thing I did see on Instagram was the scenes after the race. All of them cleaned up after themselves. Didn't need Seb coming in and cleaning up all the trash from Lewis's fans making a ruckus. They all cleaned up after themselves. Very respectful.
Kudos to that, because that place should have been torn up. And if those pictures were true, they did a damn good job. I don't think I've been as amped up to get back to traveling as I was watching this race. Like, this one is number one on the list. Like, if they're having this event next year and the environmentalists aren't going to cancel it or find a way to fuck it up, I think we should book that one, like, ASAP. Yeah. ASAP.
It looks really cool.
Yeah, so.
You don't gotta convince me. I'm in.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get my ass to Austin, but I'm ready to book Amsterdam, like, right now. So that was your race. Went, I think, as everyone hoped, Max taking the win. I was cool with it. I will say, as far as, you know, one more kudos to the fans. They booed Lewis quite a bit during free practice and qualifying, but they treated him pretty well after the race. There was a lot of applause. There seemed to be a respect level there. So I just think the fans, the event promoters, F1, they just nailed it with this event. So hopefully we see more of that. The funny thing is, and I didn't even think about this until literally yesterday when I started seeing the memes, back-to-back Dutch Grand Prix, and then we're at Monza, which
was like the race of the century last year.
Yeah, no, that definitely was the race of the year for me last year. But this was I saw this on a meme, and I was like, oh my God, I never even thought about this. You have the Orange Army, which showed out at the Dutch Grand Prix, and you have the Tifosi, which is your Ferrari base, at Monza this week. And I saw some memes going back and forth on, like, you know, which fan base is the better fan base. Is it the Orange Army, Ferrari fans? So it's going to be interesting to see how those fans show out this weekend and comparing just kind of the atmosphere. But it does bring up a good debate that we'll have to discuss later on in the season, you know, which is the better fan base. And I think you could make an argument for both. I know there are diehards in both. So we may have to get some fans on to debate it out on a show as we get towards the end of the season. But it'll be interesting to compare both.
Yep.
You are a big Ferrari fan.
I am.
Are you excited about Monza?
I am excited about Monza. I am excited for Carlos's first Monza.
Yep.
Which he's already Instagrammed about, of course.
Yep, I saw that one.
It's a tough act to follow from last year.
It is a tough
one. I'm sure it'll be. It was so good last year. Like, I just remember, and Carlos did well last year. He almost beat Gasly.
Won. Yeah.
Exactly. So he's probably, like, amped up himself from that alone.
Boys are, they're racing well. I believe they're in third place. So I think they've surpassed McLaren. Sorry, McLaren's a city in my neighborhood. McLaren for third in the constructors, obviously a ways to go. But they've quietly and continued to pump in points. So I think on my fantasy team, I might go Ferrari heavy. I know that's kind of like the cliche play at Monza, but I just think they're going to get it right this week. And what did Sainz, what place did he come in this week? Six, seven?
Yeah, I think Leclerc did beat him in the race, but not in qualifying.
Yeah, Leclerc five, Sainz seven. So that's not surprising. I think Leclerc is the better driver. He's been with the team longer. He's got the car underneath him. But I do think they'll both be there, hopefully, at the end. You know, so hopefully they don't crash out or have an engine failure or some shit like that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about off-grid gossip. What's been going on in the news, social media world?
So the first thing I noticed on social media this week was that Hamilton, and this is the last thing I'll say. Well, actually, I have two things.
Yeah, don't lie.
About him. This was more of an observation than anything else, not really dragging him through the mud. But after every race, you know, all the drivers do their like Instagram posts. They thank the team, blah, blah, blah. He actually never thanks the Mercedes team. Always just Team LH, which I find to be like really strange that he doesn't even tag Mercedes in the post.
Yeah, you'd mentioned that to me, and I don't find that strange. I feel like you're definitely reaching on this. Team LH, he's had that.
No, but in comparison to the other drivers, he's the only one that doesn't do it.
Well, I would say a couple things to counter that. First and foremost, you watch, I watch. I mean, he's always thanking the team and Mercedes. I mean, I think he does that ad nauseum in his interviews and things like that. Team LH, though, from a social media standpoint, that's been a social media kind of like hashtag he's had for a while, and it's a pretty big group of people that follow that. And so when he says Team LH, I mean, there's people at Mercedes that are Team LH, yada yada yada. I think he's totally. Just he's more sort of gearing it towards, you know, his following and his fans. The third point I'll make, he also has a way bigger following than any other driver, right? And so, you know, when he goes out and says, hey, Team LH, I mean, he's talking to tons of people that have been following him for a long, long time. I don't think it's anything that's not geared towards like it's like a Mercedes bash or anything like that. I feel like that's
I don't think it's a Mercedes bash. I think it's just interesting. So like, okay, in comparison here, I just looked at Max's post from this weekend. He also thanks, you know, the Orange Army, but he tags both Red Bull Racing and Honda Racing, not in the comment itself, but like he tags them in the photo. Hamilton doesn't even tag Mercedes in the photos. And I find that strange.
I don't know. I don't. I mean, maybe he did way back in the day, but I mean, this guy's been with Mercedes forever. Like, I don't think he needs to tag Mercedes on.
I mean, they're paying him.
Yeah. I will say this. They pay him very well. Not as well as they used to, given all the restrictions on driver pay now. I don't know. I just think Lewis's engagement with his fans is larger. And I don't mean by like the amount of people that follow him. I just think that he leverages social media. He's been leveraging it longer.
Totally.
And he leverages it, I think, I don't think it's better or worse. He just leverages it more than the other drivers. I think we can all agree to that, whether it's about social issues or this or that. You know what I mean? Like, I just think he's been doing that for such a long time that he can get away with just like Team LH.
Yeah, but like
right?
Every other driver, I'm like now scrolling through all of them. They all, even in their bios, say that what team they're on. He doesn't even have any.
He's
of
also
that.
38 and he's not going to any other team. Like if he doesn't resign with Mercedes at the end of his next contract, he's going to retire. Like these guys are 22, 23. They're playing the game. You know, they're not guaranteed to be.
Let's see what Kimi has. Kimi's old.
Kimi doesn't even use social media. He always talks about his kids and his wife.
See, he says F1 driver for Alfa Romeo race in Orlan.
I don't think it's a big deal. I also don't think Lewis identifies purely as F1 driver. I think he believes he's much more than that. And I'm not saying that sarcastically, but, you know, I mean, you get to 30. Well, he's 36, but I get it. Like you identify with your job for so long and you realize like, all right, like I can identify with more than that, or I should be able to identify with more than that. So I get it, but I don't read into it as much as you do. I mean, the guy's been doing it for a long time. And when you're a 7-time world champion, you know, no one's saying shit anyway.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. You used to be Team LH.
Yeah. He's still rubbing me the wrong way.
I don't think either of us really know what we are. I think we're still trying to figure it out.
I follow the drivers, not necessarily the teams.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
And then the only other news was there was a Daily Mail article, so obviously take it with a grain of salt, that was apparently Max is going around saying how Hamilton is going to be like second fiddle to George next year, which I don't know. Don't they always place emphasis on the up-and-coming driver?
Max is part of that younger generation I think we're all really excited about, right? Max, Norris, Russell, who else was in that? Leclerc, you know, Sainz. So these guys seem pretty tight. They're all, you know, they're going to gang together. I think the way I read into his comments was really twofold, and they're kind of the same thing, which is whether we want to admit it or not, whether he wants to admit it or not, Bottas was the number two driver, right? I mean, he had to sacrifice several races to make sure that Lewis was getting the points. And once he fell off the driver championship lead, typically 6, 7, 8 races into the year, usually sooner, it was very clear that everything, all the focus was going to be Lewis. I think what Max is saying is two things. One, Russell's not playing that fucking game, right? I don't think he will. I think they'll mix it up in the first 8 races next year. And I also think he's saying Russell's a better driver and is going to deliver and perform at a higher level than Bottas. In Lewis, that may be unsettling for Lewis, which I actually agree with. I actually do think Russell's going to give Lewis some problems next year. And it's not going to be as easy within the team for Lewis. And I think that's what Max is saying. That's how I read it anyway. And I 100% agree. If there was ever a time to kind of like stir it up a little bit. Yeah, stir the pot. And if you're Max, now is the time, right? I mean, you're leading the championship. Or I guess he made this comment before the race on Sunday. But you're at your home race. You're probably feeling very confident that you're going to come out of this race with the championship lead. It's going to be a battle through the end of the year. We all know it's probably going to come down to the last race. And, you know, for the first time in pretty much all these guys' careers in F1, Lewis is not just running away with the title.
It's very true.
So why not stir the pot? I mean, that's what I would do. So good for him.
Point.
I noticed a lot of Carlos and Isa. Is it Isa? Isa?
I think it's probably Issa.
Yeah, a lot of
but
a lot
I mean
of social
we
media
blew them up
there.
On the Wags episode, and now they're like, well, since Grid Gossip blew up our spot, guess I'm just gonna go to the paddock now.
A lot of PDA since I'd never seen one social media post
never.
Of her.
Never
not one. And then after the Wags episode, it's like every 2 days. It was pretty funny. The timing is maybe not a coincidence.
I'd like to think it's not.
But yeah, what are your thoughts on her? Not to go all Wags out, but
I mean, she's gorgeous. She seems normal.
Of course. Yeah, she seems fun. It is crazy how high the frequency of posts are with them out there. And even the really good Wags, F1 Wags, you know, Instagram handles, they've been posting a lot of it out there too. So yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, I don't know if it's just a random timing thing or it speaks to his confidence in her or her confidence in getting out there or whatever it is, but it's always good to see that because, you know, Sainz is a major player. I think he's going to continue to be a major player. So it's good to see what's going on.
Are you complimenting him?
Yeah, I know. I was tough on Sainz, but I'm starting to, I'm going to say I'm starting to become a fan, but I'm starting to realize like, I don't want to go to the levels that you've gone with Lewis on any driver. You know what
All
I mean?
Right.
So
just throw me under the bus.
Yeah, so good for signs. Any other interesting last second news?
I think the only other thing coming out of the Dutch Grand Prix was Daniel Ricciardo was having a fucking blast. He was enjoying himself a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
which I expect no less. I think he was interpreting the Orange Army to be McLaren.
100%, he thought it was McLaren, but he was running around with the cape.
Yeah,
that was pretty funny.
Just having fun. He's great. Yeah. That's all I got.
Hopefully, that means he's also starting to come around with the car, too. I think what he placed today or this week, he placed 11th, so it wasn't the greatest result. Norris placed 10th, so together, I guess the McLaren car just wasn't there. But yeah, I mean, it's good to see him having fun. I'd like to see him and Norris, you know, fighting for podiums. But if you could be hanging out with one driver at one location, I mean, that's probably the combo that we'd all say, right? Ricardo and Amsterdam.
Like, yeah.
Hands down. So it's good to see him messing around. But all right. Well, not a ton out there, but I think the race weekend really made up for it because the action was awesome. The location seemed great. The fans, the atmosphere was amazing. I mean, I was sitting there just major FOMO watching through the TV. So that's going to be a good one when we get it to it. So again, hopefully they don't cancel it or any bullshit goes down next year because I will be there. Oh, show. Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, I'm excited. We get to run back the triple header. So it's Monday night. You know, 2 days, we're right back at it. 3 days, I guess, in Monza. And the title fight is on. The constructors fight is on. The race last year was amazing. I'd be open to it again if both Lewis and Max somehow like can't finish in the top five.
Okay.
To see some of these younger guys battle it out. That would be exciting because I was blown away with the race last year. And I know you were because Sainz is your boy. So
yeah, that was where my love peaked.
Fans, whew. They have a lot to live up to this week after watching the Orange Army just throw it down.
I think if any fans could bring it, those would be the ones.
Yeah, well, Fosi, it is all eyes on you. So we'll look forward to it. That circuit is awesome, though. Very high speed, so it should be a good one. Any last thoughts or comments before we break this thing off?
Nope, I'm just going to pray I wake up to the George Russell news tomorrow just to introduce some of the memes.
I'm just hoping they break it so George doesn't have to make a fool of himself in these interviews anymore. It just turns it's bright like a, purple and giggles.
I know. It's so cute, though. It's very George Russell.
And I guess I'll... He's kind of already starting to do it, but I'll be a little bit interested to see how Lewis...
How he takes it?
Yes. Well, I mean, he's obviously already known for a little bit, but once he can actually talk about George Russell and like the partnership or the future partnership, it'll be interesting to see what his narrative is on it. I think he'll be pretty like Switzerland, you know, very, very neutral, but we'll see. I think Russell is going to be a much more challenging teammate for him. So we shall see next year, but 10 episodes through, it seems like it's gone by really quickly, but you know, we definitely appreciate all the following and all the love. I remember when we did our first episode, we were joking like, you know, 65% of podcasts don't make it to, you know, double digit episodes. And we're like, ooh, will we make it to 10? We made it. So thanks for partnering up on this, Julie.
You're welcome.
And, thank all the fans for calling, and we'll look forward to the next 10. We'll see you next week after Monza. As always, follow us on Instagram at GridGossipF1, and we will see you guys next week.
Peace.